Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hi, welcome to Blacktickulate, a podcast series featuring UK young black professionals, where we find out how they do what they do, so you can too. Or not. After all, it is your life.
Hey guys, once again, welcome to another episode of Blacktickulate. Always appreciate your support, your listenership. As always, guys, please let me know if there's anything that we can be doing better, because we're always trying to be better, better, better. Also, please do subscribe, leave a review, rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from, because it really, really helps. I do want to give a shout out to the Shout Out Network for doing their first ever podcast festival. Like, anything that's a first and something that is quite large like their festival was, there's bound to be a bit of hiccups and whatnot, but I think overall it was awesome. It was great meeting some of you guys who listen to the podcast, so I appreciate you guys coming up and just making yourself known. Hopefully they'll be doing it next year. We'll find out. So today's episode is amazing. We've got Sebastian Phil, who is an award-winning filmmaker and digital social entrepreneur. We talk about his mind frame, the words he doesn't like, how he goes about doing the right thing, which in itself makes it to be a good thing. Hopefully that will make sense when you listen to this episode. We talk about how he does what it is he does and what best pieces of advice he can give so we can too. But just genuinely, Sebastian Phil, if you don't know of him, he's phenomenal. And hopefully this conversation will enable you to understand who he is just a little bit better. Without further ado, I bring to you Sebastian Phil. All right. Now joking, I always imagine that. Who was that said that? Kevin Hart, right?
Yeah.
All right. You're going to learn today.
Have you seen him live?
I haven't. Is he decent?
He's sick. I've seen him every time he's been here.
Which one? Which tour did you see?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a big fan?
Yeah, I saw him when he first came. He done it in Indigo.
Indigo, yes.
Indigo O2. O2, the small one. Yeah. Then after that, he was just in all
That's
the
it.
Big ones.
He can command whatever he wants, right?
Yeah.
All right, bless. Guys, the voice you hear in there is Seb. Sebastian, is it Phil?
Till.
Till, apologies.
Yeah. It's all good.
Like, yeah, because that TH is what... Okay. Sebastian.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Everyone says. Most people say Phil anyway.
Yeah. I mean, loads of people will know you, but for those who don't know you, can we just almost kick off with who you are, how you identify yourself, and we just sort of roll from that, if that's cool?
Oh, okay. So I'm a filmmaker, founder of Upshot Entertainment. And I identify myself as a human being.
Okay. But you, yes. you're biracial?
I see myself as African.
Okay.
So it's not even I see myself as that. I was born in Zambia.
Right.
My dad's mixed race, so he's Zambian and German. And my mom is Zambian, Malawian, South African. She's
a blend.
Mixed.
A blend of goodness.
But she was... born in Zambia, grew up in Malawi.
Right.
And me and my sister were born in Zambia. So,
okay.
Culturally, how we're brought up is like Africans, really. I'm the only person that wasn't African was my granddad, who's German.
Right.
And he lived most of his life in Africa. So,
did you live there most of your life?
Or? No, I came when I was three.
3 years old? Yeah. Okay, you and your family just moved?
Yeah.
Why?
Better life here.
Oh, is it?
Or to set up and to do something, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah. So you mentioned your sister. It's just you and your sis?
Yeah, me and my sister. Yeah.
So where did you grow up then when you moved from Zambia?
What was the first place we lived? I think we lived in Golders Green.
Oh, okay. With a Jewish community,
first,
yeah?
At the beginning when we first came here for maybe a few months or a year or something like that. And then we moved to Burnt Oak, where I lived most of my childhood up to about 14, 15. And after that, Edgware, then near Kingsbury, right, and then Wembley. Yeah. And then I've moved a lot.
Interesting. Yeah. I remember I used to go to school in Kingsbury.
Is it? Back.
Yeah, Fryant Primary School.
I don't know.
Okay, say that.
Fryant.
What they still call that? I don't know. Lie? Their names.
What is a Fryant?
I don't know.
Is his name or?
I don't know.
All the schools have weird names. Man. I went to Ravenscroft, a secondary school called Ravenscroft.
Yeah. That's what Harry Potter is.
Yeah, it does sound like some Harry Potter stuff.
Ravenscroft School. All right, easy, calms. So the reason why I've actually got you here is because predominantly my platform is all about trying to teach people how to do what it is my guest does. Now, you having your own company, as well as being a videographer, creative, amongst other things, I almost want to try and figure out how do you do it and what the best practices are so those who are listening can, if that makes sense. So should we start with, did you go to uni? Did you go to school? Did you study? Did you always want to do this?
I dropped out of college.
Okay.
And in terms of always wanting to do this, no, not at all. I'm not one of those, you know, when I was seven,
you
bought me a camera on Christmas and I knew it's not that kind of story. So I was heavily in sports. I still am.
Okay.
But I was heavily in basketball and I thought that's what I was going to do for the rest of my life.
Right.
And then that never worked out when I was about, how old was I? First year college.
So
me
16?
And all my friends and all of that were at the airport. Like, we're meant to go on, it's a long story.
No, right? hit me.
That never worked. It's
fab.
Okay, cool. Well, basically, we're meant to go to a basketball camp to get a scholarship. Everything was on its way. Six of us were at the airport, and then the coach comes back and he says, "Oh, there's been a problem with the tickets. We couldn't go," and blah 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 blah.
What? Whilst you're at the airport?
Yeah, whilst we're at the airport. And then the next day, he was like, "Okay, cool. You know, hang tight for the night, and then we'll see if we can sort it out." It never got sorted out. And you've got to think, I was at the airport, I've already said bye to people.
Yeah. Or your enemies,
My mom, even my parents, I never even told them. Because I was like, I didn't want them to think something was dodgy.
So I was like,
you know what, let me see if I can sort it out first. And then I'll tell them if it doesn't.
What happened?
Yeah, so that happened, and those kind of things happen year after year. And
same coach.
Different coaches.
Fab ain't learning out here.
Nah, basketball in this country was just it's not the best. But and then a year after I started Upshot, I started doing t-shirts. The t-shirts were like a hobby. It was like I was doing graphic designing on the side.
Right.
When I was doing basketball.
Okay.
And I started making t-shirts to make a bit of money. And then in that year when I was doing the t-shirts, they started to do quite well. Like, we got a lot of, I don't say hood celebrities, but I mean up and coming.
Yeah, people known.
Yeah, people that were known that weren't, you know, massive stars as they are now.
So, like
the Chipmunks, Rich, Getz. Bashy, like those kind of people holding up the t-shirts or wearing them. And then so it started to do a bit well. The basketball coach came to me within that year and said, "Oh, we're going now. Would you like to come?" I was like, "No, give it to someone else who wants opportunity more than me right now."
Because the t-shirts were doing well.
I was a bit like, go and do it. And then they actually went. Like, people went. So I was like, what? Okay, it's real now. So yeah, anyway, so from that journey, I continued doing the t-shirts. And then I think in my head, I've always had this mentality of, don't stop what you're doing because you don't know how close you are to where you want to be. Because that's what happened with the basketball. I could have had what I wanted.
Right. You're not regretful of that, are you?
It's not regretful, but it's a lesson, isn't it? It's a lesson with what I'm doing now.
Okay. It's so like, resilience.
Because some people, yeah, resilience and persistence. Because what happens is you quit when you like you could be quitting when you're like on right next to where you want to be. So it's about like for me being persistent, not giving up, sticking to what you're saying you're doing.
When can you recognize to quit though? Because sometimes we can be a bit deluded,
yeah,
in thinking, oh, we're making progress or it's gonna get there eventually, and it doesn't. Like, when should we stop all our efforts? And
see, that's I've always found that difficult because there's some people that, you know, I always have this mentality of like sticking to what you're doing and you become better.
Yeah, for sure.
But what about people that just aren't good at what they're sticking to?
Yeah.
I don't know, because the thing is, what I've stuck to, I've been
quite good at.
I've been good at.
Yeah.
Whatever I stick to, right. I haven't ever, but it might be because I do things that I don't know if it's really passionate about or things that lean towards what I know I can do. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to have confidence in yourself. I wonder if you've had friends or family.
It might be, like, say I'm not going to get up and say I'm going to be a singer and then be persistent and say I can learn. I know you can probably learn how to make your voice, you know.
Better, for sure.
Better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I wasn't born to be a singer. I'm not going to be deluded and, like, and say I'm going to...
to be the greatest, the next, you know, Maxwell saying.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So
how do you
Maybe it will if you believe enough. I don't know. It's a difficult one.
I think the very notion of belief is that you believe so no one can tell you otherwise. And you'll do everything in your power to make it. But I think the marketplace, it depends on the context, but the marketplace often tell you or give you the honesty.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not buying with your product or service because you're just not of the standard.
Yes, of course. But do you think if you practice for long enough, maybe there will be a time where it changes?
Yeah. And then what? Don't quit?
Like, say, you know all these people that we say, oh, you're deluded.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've known some people that are like maybe not so great at basketball.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, it's not so good. But they stick at it for so long and they're so consistent that boom, like now some of these people are playing in like Europe and stuff,
yeah,
but they couldn't play then. So it's like maybe
there's something to be said with practice, like 10,000 hours. You know how Malcolm Gladwell coined that?
Yeah.
10,000 hours is the difference between good and genius and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the question I will always ask is, well, can you be practicing down something that is just clearly going to be a lot more difficult for you? Is it better for you to shift that pivot to something you've got more of an innate talent to? And how do you recognize those two? But you know, you're right.
You know what? You're right. I think that's true. But then at the same time, I don't know. I just do what I love, so it's hard for me to say, you know, because you're great at numbers, just stick to the numbers. But generally, people are good at what they
enjoy.
I don't know.
Yeah. There's this great book. I forget what it's called, but it's by Sir Ken Robinson.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to kill me. I'm sure it's...
I know who you're talking about.
Though. Yeah. That great TED Talk, which is the one that creativity, education kills creativity. But he was talking about flow, and he was speaking to this lady who was a prodigy when it came down to the piano.
Yeah.
And after, like, she did a gig or something, he went up to her and goes, hey, How do you find it? Did you enjoy it and stuff? And she was like, yeah, you know, she gave that canned answers that she normally does. And he goes, no, you're not listening to me. I was like, I'm asking, did you enjoy it? And she goes, well, you know, I've been doing it for so long. He says, no, listen to me. Did you enjoy it? She goes, well, here's what I really enjoy. I enjoy reading. I enjoy doing this. Just because she was being pushed, you know, shoehorned into doing something that she had a talent for, all of a sudden, you know, she put that 10,000 hours plus she became a genius, a prodigy and all of that accolade.
Yeah.
But what she really enjoyed and wanted to do was read and be like a book critique.
Interesting.
So it was like, do that. And he goes, what you'll find out quite quickly is If you enjoy doing something, 5 hours feels like 5 minutes. If you don't enjoy doing it, 5 minutes can feel like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So if you can always just figure out what it is and just your world that you enjoy doing, then...
Yeah, that's so true. That's interesting. Mm. I wonder if she's a good book. I hope.
But she's enjoying it. Okay, so let's... you said you dropped out of college. That's where we left you.
Yeah.
How's that conversation with the family?
Oh, well, it wasn't, hey, I'm dropping out of college. It was more like, I'm taking a gap year and I just never returned.
Okay.
So that's what happened. So the conversation was just talking to them about, yeah, taking a gap year. I'm going to start up this business and then kind of prove myself and then just never returned.
Really. Right.
Yeah.
Did they put any requirements, like parameters? If you're going to do this, then I want to see these results.
Or... No, but that's because they know my character.
Right. Speak on that.
Like, I think they know, like my parents, they're not super strict because they didn't need to be.
Right, gotcha.
When we became older, when me and my sister became older. Obviously, when we were younger, obviously, they were quite strict. But I mean, in terms of parameters around this, they didn't have to put parameters because they trust me.
Your upbringing.
To do what I'm saying I'm going to do, you know, if I'm saying I'm going to be serious and do this and so on and so forth, they would let me do it. Looking back now, it's like, oh, right, like they really trusted me.
What do your parents do?
So my dad was a bus driver and my mom, care worker.
Okay, same. So for them.
And creative, she's a bit of a creative as well. So she does like, she's done. Is it flowers and cakes and all these types of things?
Okay, same. So you've always sort of been surrounded around the creativity?
Not really. Is that...
You see what I tried to shoehorn that for you?
I know you did, but... it is creative, but it's not... I don't think we're surrounded by creativity. It's really weird. I don't understand how me and my sister are both in the film industry.
Yeah.
He's an actress, I'm a film director, and it's like... Yeah, I have no idea how that happened, really.
Can we almost try and distill that? How did that happen? Yeah,
maybe we watched a lot of films.
Right.
So back in the day, there was like an off license. And then when they'll have parents or family will have like parties and they go and get alcohol and stuff, there was an off license with loads of videos and VCRs and stuff. And we'll always hire videos and watch loads of videos. So maybe... From that, I don't know, but everyone watches videos. I don't know how that translates into what you're doing now. And then I know back in the days, I was speaking to my mum about this and I was saying, did we look like we'd be actors and directors and blah, blah, blah. And my mum was saying she thought I was going to be more of the
actor
or performer. Yeah, when I was young, I always wanted to do stuff like do dance classes or do acting this or do that. So, yeah, don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, okay.
One thing that I did enjoy, actually, if we look back to secondary school, my dad bought a camera. See, now I sound like...
That makes sense. Yeah, I see.
But he bought a camera, and then he was just talking about, document, memories, like your memories of your...
Of your journey.
Of your school and things like that when you're leaving and all of that, so... Yeah.
You still got those
it
tapes?
It was more of, I've got loads.
Loads,
yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Especially, that'd be so grainy and old school.
Yeah, I should try and look them up, with actually. It.
Yeah, 100%. So, okay.
That was funny, yeah.
What would you do with it now that you think about it?
You never know, could make it a series. Have you seen that series of, what's his name? There's a series on TV where he's based the characters off of his... brother and sister and mother and this and that, and at the beginning or the end of each show you see the clip of the original.
That'll be sick. No, I haven't seen it. I mean, for me, TV, I ain't gonna lie to you.
Or something like that. I can't remember finding it.
I normally, if someone tells me to watch something because they know me, I'm going to listen to them, but I don't have a TV in my room. My laptop is everything, you know. Netflix, you know, Amazon Prime, the lot. But okay, so, actually, I have a question that all my listeners now want me to bring back. So I always normally say there's always great stories, especially us being black, where we remember feeling black. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we know we're black, but we were made to feel black. Do you have any of those stories? Like, I remember a time when you were black, or you knew you were black because...
Not really, because I think of myself, I really think of myself as African, but at the same time...
Okay, do you separate that, black
think,
and African?
I think they're different things.
Tell me, if you don't mind me asking.
Because I think African, it feels more like a culture, isn't it? And black, to me, is just it's a complexion, it's a colour.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, okay, I get that.
I don't know, it feels different. It's more like how to describe the way someone looks on the outside.
Yeah, I actually get that, because
Caribbeans and Africans, they might culturally be slightly different. And then black, what's black? It's like a blanket of everyone that is darker.
Darkest pigmentation, no. I think Dr. Uma Johnson actually said that recently on the Brilliant... not Brilliant Idiots.
Did he?
Not Brilliant Idiots. He went on Brilliant Idiots. He was in Breakfast Club.
Ah,
yeah. And he was going, basically, he has a movement called Africanist or something like that.
Yeah.
And they changed it, or the people who were talking about his movement were talking and saying black Americans. And he was like, no, you know, we all derive and we all come from Africa. So the fact that they've even segregated or separated black and African makes it feel like I can be black American, but at least I'm not African. As if there's still levels of hierarchy within that.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I've never thought of it like that.
Which I thought, where you might have, like, not taken from there, but that's where you were coming from.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I've never thought of it like that. But.
Because you do get that even here, you know, I'm black British, and then, you know, you get people, when we're being racist to our own selves, if we can even say that, right? It's like, oh, you go back to your country, this and the other. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Do they write British Chinese? Do people write that?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Of course not. I've never seen that shit.
I haven't seen that on the form either.
Have you seen that on the form? No. Have you seen Indian? No. British Indian?
I've seen British Asian.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I haven't seen British Chinese.
Oh, okay.
But is Asian then, does that encompass?
I think it's like another blanket for everyone else. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
but you never had a
but
feeling.
I get for people that have lived here, that have been brought up here, and their parents were from here. Maybe that's, you know, that's why they feel black British and they don't feel African. But for me, it's African. But in terms of like feeling black, I think you can't not feel like that,
right.
Especially in a place like London.
Yeah,
you know, if you're aware anyway, there's so much. How can I say? As a filmmaker making the type of content that I do, I'm very conscious and aware of how we're perceived in media, which probably makes me quite conscious and aware of how I'm perceived as an individual. And I think, you know, it wouldn't be as much if I was darker in complexion, because there's always some sort of, you know, you always have this whole, it's like a black spectrum or whatever.
Oh, colorism,
and
dark, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, and okay. Then, like, you know, I don't...
So light skin privileges and stuff like that.
Yeah, and right. I don't, and I've, you know, if people look at me, they probably won't even think I'm from Africa anyway.
Right.
So there's no way I would know how it feels to actually be, you know, black in terms of the complexion. See, even you when see, I'm saying, yeah, even yeah, when yeah. I'm speaking about this, you can see how can, when you say black, it's hard, because someone listening to this, they might not know my complexion.
Yeah, 100%.
And black, it's the colour, isn't it?
I mean, we are talking about identity politics here, and we're talking about culture, and we're talking about all the nuances and layers that it entails. Yeah. But the thing is, does, especially from a professional context, which we're going to move into, has that hindered? Has that been a challenge? Have you not had opportunities because of your race? Do you know?
I don't give a shit.
Okay.
Are we allowed to swear on
this? Yes.
I don't give a shit. I don't care. No, to be fair, obviously, you know, you feel these types of things in the industry, especially there's a lack of diversity. You know, there's not a lot of we don't have a lot of content or whatever, and when we do, it's majority of the time it's either not well made or it portrays us in a bad way.
Right.
But my approach has always been just do things online.
I see that,
like,
yeah.
Like, I was always like, you know, YouTube gives us the opportunity to do what we want, when we want, how we want to do it.
Yeah.
So there was no excuse. It's like, if they're not going to put our content on TV, then I'll just do it online. Yeah. It's still getting viewed by people, which I make content to get viewed by people. It's getting viewed by people. I can find ways to make money from it. I'm happy. I'm done. Okay. So then for me, it was like, if I then get my content to a big audience, and then these people pay attention, then they'll come to me.
Which is what's happened, right? Currently.
Yeah.
Okay. So So
I've always been.
You've always had that
mind. Just tried to focus on myself, because what happens is you try and knock on doors, and you get doors shut in your face. It's like, I'm not in that game. Like, right now there's an opportunity with the internet to do things differently.
Yeah.
You know, don't forget begging for permission. You don't need permission, you can just make it, and then people realize.
So. And you can make it on a shoestring budget, but then would that not compromise the quality after? Because, I mean, can we talk about a living?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
let's.
Yeah.
So you're a filmmaker first and foremost, right? How did you start that? Do you remember your first film and before you started getting recognition, or did you just start your company straight away?
No, it wasn't even film company. So before it was T-shirt.
It was T-shirt apparel.
Then
right,
I done an advert for a T-shirt. It's called How Not to Chat Up a Girl with A-Dot Comedian. And then that went viral on like World Star Hip Hop and all these different sites. Then I started to see the power of film more.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, damn, like these videos doing better than the T-shirts. Maybe I should rethink what I'm doing in life. And then I just started to get more interested in video, learn how to edit through tutorials on YouTube,
right?
And jump off TV, actually.
Okay.
I worked there for about a year or half a year. They taught me how to edit.
What tool did you use?
Back then it was Final Cut 7 or something. So I'd done that. Then I started up the company. I wasn't filing any accounts or anything. I got fined about £600.
No.
Then I was like, shit, I need to learn about this stuff.
Yeah.
So then I made the company dormant. Well, my mentor advised me just make the company dormant and learn some stuff first and then do it when you're ready. So I made it dormant, and then I think I went active with the company years after.
Right.
I was working as a freelancer. So everything I was doing within Upshot, I was working as a freelancer. Then I made the company active.
Right.
When I knew what I was doing. So within that time, Upshot was going through different changes. So from T-shirts to video events, I was doing loads of different things. And then I fine-tuned it just to video and film.
Right, gotcha.
So, and within that time as well, I was winning a lot of, I was applying and fortunately winning like funding competitions. So that was what supported me.
Do they still go on these funding competitions?
Yeah, some of them.
Can you name a couple?
So Unlimited, UNLTD, that was one. For social enterprises, Mini Mogul was one. Unlimited, I won twice actually, because they had different awards,
different categories.
And then I went to the School of Social Entrepreneurs. So there was a school that I went to. It's not like a uni or anything like that. It's like a, I don't know how you would describe it.
It's like a supplementary. Does like ones when open uni kind of where you can go whenever.
It's not a uni, but it's like an independent type of school.
Right,
I don't know what I would call it, but it's called the School of Social Entrepreneurs. I went there for about a year, and you go on this course of how to, you know, be a social entrepreneur, and they bring. So you learn all about, you know, the business element of the accounts, how to set up companies and stuff, social impact, how to measure it and stuff. And then they bring, which was my favorite part of the classes, is that they bring social entrepreneurs in to talk to you.
Professionals.
They were called witness sessions, and they've done it in such a amazing way. Like, it wasn't formal. It was literally these people delving into their lives, like the core of their lives. So like how they dealt with their partners whilst they were setting up their businesses, and how they were, you know, those little details that mean so much more than just the
stuff you can find on the internet. Yeah.
You know, like, and one thing they taught us as well is, you know, when these people are here, don't ask questions you can Google.
Yeah.
You see it all the time. So
I'm quite interested.
Really good experience.
How do you measure social impact?
So it's like little things. So for example, if you're, it depends what the business is, but it might be like, if you're selling soap and every soap you sell,
X amount goes to feed.
Like this child, and then you've got, you know, 300 children have been helped through this process, and then blah, blah, blah. And there might be other layers and layers and layers, but it's like, it's that kind of thing.
With
mine, it was much harder because it's a video and film. So I basically look at my experience with SSC as, you know, the training, the layer that just made me more socially aware.
Right. Within
my content. I was always socially aware, but I mean, it helped me think of how to incorporate that within the business as well. You know? So for example, when Upshot gets like a big level of, you know, a big production company, it might be, you know, we do workshops within the schools every month, or it might be that we have something in our company where it says, you know, we have to have, you know, 20 young people on on set, or, you know, like just incorporating things like that and just being aware of that.
Right. I'm with you.
Making sure that's embedded in what we do.
And that was that from the jump that you won once you started and you cemented, you know what, we're just going to do video and film.
Yeah.
That was.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Your social imprint moving forward? Or?
No, I think everything I've wanted to do is, I don't know where this has come from as well, but I mean, everything I've wanted to do has had to have some sort of substance in it. Yeah. I can't just do surface stuff. I feel like it's a waste of time.
How much? No, 100%.
But it's not as well, because, you know, sometimes people just want to be free and just enjoy life, but I mean, I feel like it's a waste of time for me.
For you, yeah, no, I'm with you. Of course, that. I mean, it's all your personal experience. So, what's the typical way in then to the film and vid industry? Because your route isn't, is it?
It's not really the typical way, no. Because I done stuff online, then got noticed by Big Talk. Big Talk pitched to BBC, and then BBC picked it up, and then I secured my agent. Which is like a really, it's all the wrong way around.
Okay, what's the usual
way? I think usually, you know, people would secure an agent first. It's kind of like chicken and egg. You would do a, I don't know, maybe do a really good short film in a short film festival, and then an agent would see it and say, yeah, I want to represent you. And then the agent will send your work to production companies. Yeah. Then production companies would be like, oh, he's good. And then,
you know,
but I cut that. I went a different route because I went straight online.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do that now. Like, you know, Michaela Cole.
She done it like that, I think, like, but theatre-wise.
Oh, okay.
She done the theatre off her own back. So you can go that route as well, through theatre.
So for those who are listening, it's your advice basically from a professional context. It's just, you don't need permission. Whatever you want to create,
not anymore,
and upload it. And if you get the viewership, then the likelihood is the big corporations will start knocking.
Yeah, and you don't even need the, sometimes you don't need the viewership. You just need the talent and just to show your talent. Because if you look at all the stuff I created, the show, one of the shows with the least amount of views is the one I got picked up.
Right.
So what just a couple, is the one that isn't, like, in terms of on our channel, it wasn't like the most viral show. We had other shows that were like way more viral, and like, so that's where we, what we done.
So, okay, so I see your trajectory, and please correct me if I've got wrong here. You started off, obviously you came from Zambia with your parents, and then throughout for you, you had your eye on the prize, which is the NBA, potentially. But then because of some madness of your coach. not coming to fruition with what you promised, you know, you started doing apparel because you're doing some graphic design, and you're enjoying it. And at a time you were being seen and giving it to, I guess, celebs, but within the hyper local community.
At the time.
And then one of the individuals was A-Doc Comedian. And then you did a video for that, for the apparel mainly, right? But it went viral.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait a minute, this thing's all right. This thing we call filming, video. And then since then, you've been in that industry, haven't you? Just creating content with hopefully trying to make sure you have some social impact and just how we perceived in a positive light.
Yes, that is perfect and concise. I could have said it as short as that, and then you would have had to listen to me talk for like...
No, I listen, and I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful for your time. And from an advice perspective, for those who are listening, you're just like, listen... Even if you don't necessarily have the scale of the listenership, right? Just do it.
Yeah.
And how to do it? I mean, what sort of equipment and tools do they need to start up?
What specifically within film?
Yeah.
Specifically within film is just. I think it depends on your level. I hate making excuses because if I tell you you need this kind of camera, someone's not gonna. There's someone out there that I know is not going to start until they have that kind of camera.
Yeah, I hear you.
Or this kind of thing, or this kind of, or like, it's never going to be perfect. Just start with the resources you have. Whatever money you can rustle up to do something, rustle it up. If you can't get money, do it with your phone. Mm. Like, there's, look at your situation, look at what you can do, and then do it. Do that to your best ability. That's what I would say. Because you can, you know, if you can't get no money but you have a phone, then do it on your phone. If you can get some money, hire some kit. If you can pull in some favors. Just
be resourceful, whatever means necessary. Do it
100%. Be resourceful, be patient, and have perseverance.
Yeah.
I think those are some of the keys, because a lot of people in the industry, I've just seen a lot of people fall off through the years.
Right.
You know, they just give up.
Right.
You know, like, it's not
a easy.
It's not going to be, instant you're not going to make it quick. Yeah. Like, you know, and when you're young, all these years feel long, but they're not long.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was maybe about, 22, and I had people around me that were the same age saying, I've been doing this for long, man. I should have made it by now. And it's like, looking back now, I'm like, shit. why were people talking like that?
Yeah.
Like, nothing's owed to you. Like, 22? You know, you get the occasional people that, like, blow young, or, like, blow after a year, or blow quickly.
Yeah.
And most of the time, those people don't last.
Okay.
Most of the time.
Why is that?
Because you don't know how to handle it. You haven't worked for it.
Okay.
You don't appreciate it.
Okay.
But then you see people that have worked for it, and I think they last. They have more of a strong head.
Yeah.
It's my opinion. But I think you see it in people like, maybe like someone like Kevin Hart's a perfect example for that.
Yeah.
That work ethic. And then, like, you just see it's, right now, it's consistent. You never know what could happen. But, I mean, he's just consistently working hard because he knows where he's came from.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you also, I just think you do appreciate it. And I think if I had my break with BBC Three
earlier
when I was younger, I don't think, I just think it's a better thing that it's happened now.
Right, gotcha. Okay, yeah. Got more level head, you know where you've come and
More of a level head, a little bit more experience. I still, you know, need more experience, but I mean, you know, I've gone through the process, I've done it at the right age.
Yeah.
It hasn't come too quick where you never know, things just, you might just change your character or something like that. It's just, I think it's happened at a time where I can appreciate
it. Well, it's just nicer. And yeah, and
a bit more.
And plus, I mean, the fact that you're making a name for yourself, I want to actually get to, how did that come about then, this BBC? They came to you because they saw your work on YouTube. Because,
yeah,
I mean, I think,
TikTok,
I think what I want to almost get at from my listener's perspective, I hope anyway, is that, okay, cool, Seb, I get that. I'm resourceful. I'm doing everything that, you know, you've advised, yes, using my phone, whatever equipment I have, I've edited it, put it on YouTube.
Patience.
Patience is what you advise next. Patience, how do they commercialize, how to promote,
okay,
if anything.
I've had I can only share what I do.
Of course.
Because I can't, for me, everyone's journey is like completely, it's individual, it's completely different. You can't just copy and paste what someone else is doing for yourself. It won't work. But for me, what I've done, I've taken a lot of risks. Like, I wasn't afraid to take out loans and borrow money and do this and do that to make stuff happen and then pay it back without even knowing how I'm going to pay it back.
Right.
Like, because I believe in something, that's something I would do. So to make stuff, I've taken a lot of risks, borrowed a lot of money, done blindly, not knowing how it's going to pay off, but knowing how it's going to pay off. If that
believing,
makes sense.
Yeah, believing.
So
yourself.
Just believing that it will pay off. Calculated risks, though, not anything stupid where I'm like never going to be able to pay the money back.
So
we'll do that, and then at the same time, have a level of like I've tried to plan things, you know, try and do things in a way where, you know, if you're trying to get noticed, you've got to make content that will get noticed. How do you make content that will get noticed? Just look, maybe I never done this, but you can study what other people are, what stuff's going viral or trends or attach talent to it or so basically use a level of intelligence or research or effort. I don't think some people put effort into it. So you just carry on creating stuff and then put it up. The effort might have been in you putting it together, but the effort behind the content as well is something that's important.
I think you're right. People put
effort.
Yeah, no, people put effort to start, usually.
Yeah.
And then they fall off a little bit because it gets long. And they're like, just let's get it finished because I just want to get rid of the project. And they don't see that same energy and effort that they initially had.
The energy and effort has to be within every part of the process.
Yeah.
So not just, so for example, you might be really determined to make something, but you never put effort into the writing of it.
Mm.
How is that your effort into making it? You could make it and you could have borrowed money and done all of this, but the writing is rubbish. So it's not going to,
It might not
do what you want it to do, and maybe sometimes the effort might be the fact that you're not able to do it. I don't know.
I mean, there you go. Sometimes you're just not capable, so you might need to borrow or lean on people who are more capable.
Yeah, 100%.
So no, I'm with you. But monetization, making it profitable and sustaining yourself.
Online, I had to find other ways to make money. So I was making money through corporate videos and other videos, and then using that money to invest
into your Upshot.
So it's not that the Upshot videos were paying; like, it was more money to make, then the money we'll get back from YouTube. So
right.
It was never a sustainable business model doing stuff on YouTube and getting revenue from them.
Right.
Didn't work for us.
So that's why you have a corporate arm where you do corporate videos.
Yeah, and that's why I do make money through other avenues, yeah.
Yeah. How'd you get that job? How'd you get those jobs?
Word of mouth, yeah, really, most of the time. Word of mouth, business relationships, networking, putting yourself out there, creating a brand,
yeah,
contacting people, having a lot of meetings,
okay,
stuff like that, just being a bit, being really active.
Yeah. All right, so Seb, I do want to round it up, and I normally ask light fire questions towards the end,
yeah,
but before I do hit you with those, is there anything that you think, just in our conversation, that we've overlooked that it might be great advice, or certainly how to's to get into being a film and video director, producer, such as yourself? Is there anything that we haven't covered that you're like, you know what, Eddie?
It's hard to say, because I think first you need to establish what you want to do. Like,
within the ecosystem.
What I mean by that is you can be a director. You can be a director tomorrow if you want. You just got to make some films,
right?
But you're talking more to be in the industry, isn't it?
Yeah, and sustain yourself and live in it and thrive in it.
I'm still learning, so it'll be hard for me to answer that, because my show came out this year, first thing on BBC, so that's really the first time I'm really in the industry. It's really weird, because I used to get asked a lot to do panel discussions,
yeah,
at industry events, but I was never in the industry. It always used to annoy me.
Okay.
Because I was like, you haven't picked up any of my shows or anything I'm doing. You also don't want to pay me to speak on this panel. But it's an industry event where you want me to inspire young kids,
yeah,
about being in the industry, when I'm not in the industry. I'm doing stuff online, right, with my own back, with my own money. So that really used to jar me.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is, for a long time, I was seen as being in the industry, and I wasn't even in the industry, but that's because of everything I had created online.
Right.
So I think it's important to know what you want to do, what you care about. If you want to be within the industry, then, there's the traditional approach where it's this whole, film festival, theatre, writing for them, or shooting stuff and submitting it to that, and then maybe getting an agent, and then your agent getting work, and then that traditional approach, for example, networking and all of that. Or just take advantage of the online world, do something, do it dope, see what happens.
Sure, yeah.
You never know how things will turn out for you, but I think good work always rises to the top. So yeah, you'll go in the unorthodox or the online route could open up better doors or more doors for you.
I think it's starting to become almost a typical route now, isn't it, going online?
A what?
Because a typical route, you say unorthodox, but I'm now actually seeing, I feel like I'm seeing a lot, especially self-starters, just putting their stuff online and just seeing how that goes. And you say you do good work, and I agree with you on that, but good is very subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it is.
How does one qualify what good is?
So the way you can never, that's a really good question. For me, when you do something, it's kind of like when you do something right. Yeah, so first do something right, and then it's preference.
Speak on that.
It's hard to explain. But I mean, I'm going to try and find a way to explain it in a weird way.
Please do. I might go off in a
tangent or whatever. But there was something, I used to struggle with this whole thing about trying to be the best and all of this, or doing things good and right. And I used to get muddled up with good and right.
Right.
Yeah, like, being good at something doesn't necessarily mean Okay, wait. Let me find myself.
Yeah, first. No worries. Take your time, G. Because I think it's a really interesting concept. The idea of good and then being right. I think if you always, for me, and this is something that I often try and struggle with, is who am I advocating for? Who am I accountable to? And so long as I'm serving them all the time,
yeah.
I know I'm doing something right. My core values, do you know what I mean? The why, my reason and why.
Yeah.
Now, how I go about doing it, whether it's good or bad, if so long as I'm serving those people and they're appreciating it, then it's good.
Ah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? For instance, I'll put it in context, Seb, if for me, I'm responsible, my entire service is whatever I can do to help you.
Yeah.
Right? I don't necessarily know if what I'm going to be doing is helpful, so long as you tell me, Ade, this is what I need, and if I can do it, it's right, you know, and I've done it, I've impacted your life positively.
Yeah.
But for someone else, that's like, no, that's shit, do you know what I mean? Or that was rubbish. But to you, it was good. Because, again, we talk about subjectivity, and good is subjective,
okay, so
but when you're
happening.
Saying right,
you know,
you've got
here.
Your thought, okay.
We have, no, I get what you're saying. But even with what you're saying, the way you see the word right is different to how I see it.
Okay, hit me.
So, because it's language, and I think it's just sometimes you just see words differently.
Yeah, 100%.
So the way I got modeled up with thinking that right and good is the same kind of, it's the same word.
Right, gotcha.
So okay. What I mean by that is like, so for example, if a teacher was telling me, I do Kung Fu, yeah. So if a teacher's telling me, oh, Sebastian, you're good, that would mean I'm doing it right.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
I see that in that context. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So then I would focus on trying to be good.
I hear that. Instead
of doing it right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So in class, what your focus, this is what my Kung Fu teacher was, because we had this talk. And this is when it clicked for me. And then he was like, no, just focus on doing it right. Mm. Not trying to be good.
Right. Yeah? I am with you. Especially from a martial arts perspective, technique is quite important.
Yeah, and then what would happen, because it takes your ego away, because what happens is someone else will look at you and say, he's good.
Yeah.
Instead of you trying to be good.
Yeah, no, I hear that.
Yeah, so what that made me think of, or what put that me on a path of, is like coming to the realization of trying to do my best instead of being the best.
Yeah, I think, you know? Even if I can jump on that as well, Yoda said it, yeah. He goes, there's no try.
Yeah.
You do or you don't.
Yeah.
Because when you try to be something, the notion of trying is like, it's conceited in it itself.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, that's
it. It's like,
point.
I'm trying to be cool. Nah, relax.
Yeah.
You're cool or you're not.
Yeah.
Do or you don't. No try.
That's good.
So I think I get what you mean in regards to that context.
So I think what your question was, how do you know?
Because you're saying just do good.
Yeah. So to now kind of bring that full circle is, so how do you know when your work's good?
Yeah.
Don't focus on that. That's what it is.
Precisely.
It's do your best work.
Yeah.
Just and your best work is with you doing things right and you doing things, you know, putting effort into it. You putting effort into like the technique and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let other people say.
Precisely. Let them qualify for you.
What I was trying to get at is your personal mentality towards it.
Yeah.
Because that will mess you up.
Especially, yeah, I mean, compete against yourself as opposed to others as well. And I forget who said it. It might have been some form of mentor-student relationship anyway, like an education system, where the student handed in to the mentor, like, the work that the mentor asked the student to provide for the teacher. And, you know, the student came back to find out and goes, oh, have you read it? Can I get a feedback from it? And he just gave it back to the student and goes, is that the best you can do? Student looked at him and went, all right, cool. Then he went off, did it again and handed it the following day. And then the following day after that, he went back to the mentor and goes, hey, can I get some feedback? And mentor again, same thing, goes, is that the best you can do? Student looked at it and went, all right, you're right. Went off. Again, kept on updating it.
Went
back.
He never even read it, did he?
He didn't read it. Because here's the thing, right? Check it. So when the student came back for last feedback, you've literally not given me any feedback whatsoever, right? All you said is, this the best I can do? Yeah. He goes, okay, now I'll read it. Because there's no point in doing or handing in work that, so you don't feel that is the best you can do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a really cool story, man.
Yeah. But anyway, so Seb, let's get some light fire questions and let me get you out.
I like that story.
Yeah, and let me get you out your way because I'm really grateful for your time. But insofar as any worst advice you've been given, just before I give you the fire questions, because we've been given good advice, but is there any bad advice that people need to, that you've been given?
I can't remember, but I just, I just hate those two words.
You can't.
Whatever it is, you can't. I just don't like that. And that fuels me, so anyone's ever said that.
Oh, interesting.
I figure out a way.
Okay.
Or sometimes, you know, on the flip side, it could be the best advice. It makes you realise maybe you can't do it that way, but you can do it the other way. But anything I believe, if someone says, you can't, it either fuels me to do it or fuels me to find another way to do it.
It's interesting because I think Michael Jordan...
It would never make me say, I can't. I'll never leave saying that.
Yeah. Michael Jordan renowned for being the most bitter NBA player?
I think I don't know if it's bitter, but it might be.
Yeah, because he remembers every single person that said he couldn't do something. And whenever he got his rings, he will say all the names. He goes, this is for this, that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so quick fire questions. You ready?
Yeah.
If you can give a TED Talk about anything other than your profession, what would it be?
I actually done a TED Talk, yeah.
You did? But it was about your profession?
Yeah. Shabba. Okay. This is really difficult. My life is revolved around my profession. And I don't feel I know anything. I don't know anything well enough to talk about it. Well, I could research into it. So if I knew enough about meditation and Shaolin, I would love to do that.
Okay.
Or relationships would be quite cool, something within relationships and how people communicate with each other,
like romantic relations.
Yeah, I just find it so interesting
because you're getting married, aren't you?
Yeah,
sir.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Congrats, haven't thrown that out there.
Thank
is
you,
that
sir.
Known
thank you sir that, yeah well known to whoever,
to your family,
yeah,
friends
know,
or family.
But I would
yeah.
never hide it.
Yeah
it's not
okay.
No. Did you see that J. Cole interview when he got
what happened? What? Oh no.
Someone hotted Ryan Coogler, how do you say his name? But that director was on stage and said something about J. Cole getting married or at the wedding or something like that, and J. Cole just went nervous because it was like
my fan base.
He got thrown into it.
Yeah.
He didn't know that that's Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, see.
So I'm not trying to do a J. Cole.
Yeah, no, because that's how we bumped into each other, because you were getting, well, as a shout out, credit where credit due, I go chop.
Yeah.
You're getting
them
to the UK tour and that.
Yeah.
So yeah, Toby, if you're listening, I've been trying to get him on the podcast.
Toby.
So what would you spend your last £5 on?
Last £5 for what?
Ever, that's all you have. You're broke as your last £5.
Oh, okay, is it I have to buy something or I could invest in something?
Whatever, it's open. What would you spend it on?
I don't know. I'd have to invest in something. I'd have to find something to invest on. If I couldn't invest in something, that's a hard question, man. What type of answers do people give to that?
I had a last one was Jammy Dodgers.
Really?
Because that got him throughout like some tough times.
That is actually making me like...
Someone else said a JD at Coke. I was like,
I don't drink alcohol. For me, because you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of being broke after. So yeah. I can't think of being broke after. I have to think about how to flip that £5 yeah. into something else. So yeah. whatever I need to do to
someone said, or is it a domain name? No, some great answers to that. That's how curious. £5. You don't want to be broke afterwards, so it's something to invest in.
Man, it's actually making me think because I can't come up with an answer. I don't want to commit to an answer.
That's all good. Shall I move on? I'll give you another one then.
I feel really bad though for anyone listening because this would be so annoying.
Nah, it's all bliss. I'll edit that out.
Yeah, edit.
So what's?
Oh shit! That's a good question. I'm gonna actually think of it after.
Okay, then yeah, send it to me if you want via email or something, and I'll just say post it. Oh, by the way, Seb came back and he said this. Two more questions, which is a little bit heavier, but who springs to mind when I say the word success, and why?
It's a good question. Who sprung to mind?
Seb.
No, it's a really good question. Who springs to mind? So, the first people that it's like a group of people that spring to mind. So it's my family spring to mind when I think of success. So being successful for them.
Okay.
So that's what comes to mind. Yeah.
Cool. And how would you like to be remembered?
I won't know though, so it doesn't matter.
You won't know, but I mean, how would you like to be? Not saying that this is definitely how people
I know, but I'll be dead, so it doesn't matter. Like, after I'm dead, if I can peep and see how I'm remembered, that would be dope. But I think I would like to be remembered in a way that inspires people to do something. So I don't know exactly what that is, but I'd like to stand for someone that pushes people to be like the best version of themselves in some sort of way. So it might be through the content that I've produced or the way that I've lived my life. It should be to try and push things forward. I want to leave a mark that makes people want to push themselves forward.
I hear that. And I think you are doing that personally.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm very grateful for your time. And so how can people find you on the World Wide Web? And when we do find you, what do you want us to do? Do you need any help with anything? You know, this is yours.
Well, if anyone's got millions of pounds, send that to me. You never know.
That's true.
You might as well. See, that's the first key. You've got to get every opportunity you can.
Yeah.
So you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, social media, you know, as Sebastian Till or as It's Upshot. And then online, itsupshot.com or sebastian-till.com.
Guys, I'll always put that in the show notes, as you know. And when we do find you, you want 11 millions of pounds?
I'll just be kidding. When you do find me, shout me. I don't bite. Happy to communicate with anyone.
And that I can attest to because honestly, obviously you've been on my radar.
Yeah.
And I saw Seb in Nigo Chop shop. Yeah. And I just went, do you mind if I introduce myself? I was like, yeah, cool. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to get in my podcast. And the next thing you do, you give me your number and stuff. And you're like, yeah, text me. I was like, wow, now this is a bit extreme. I was like, can I pitch you? He goes, nah, you just approached me. So yeah. Guys,
you know what, it's energy, isn't it?
Right.
You know, not a lot of people approach you in a certain way and not a lot of people approach.
Right.
You'd be surprised, not a lot of people. So it already separates you when you approach in a certain way.
Well, Seb, thanks very much for coming. And guys, once again, thanks for joining us for another episode of Blacktickulate. See you soon.
Thank you. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, guys. We would love to know what your thoughts are, what you think about the episode, so please do leave us a comment on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever it is you get your podcasts. And if you are somebody who does what our guest does, and there were things that we didn't cover, or perhaps you might have a different perspective on how to get into the industry, how to sustain it, how to thrive in it, how to kill it, then please get in touch too. Now, how do you get in touch? Well, you can reach us via email on contact@blacktickulate.com. or any of the major social media platforms. It is simply Blackticulate. So we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, SoundCloud. Give us feedback, help us grow, help us be accountable to you so the quality is always better, better, better. You guys are the best. Hope you have a great day, and we'll see you in another episode of Blackticulate.